This morning, we had a tremendous blessing with Brother Scotty, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him again tonight. So, Brother Scotty, you come on.
God bless you, sir. All right. Thank you so much. God bless you, Brother Matt. Enjoyed the music. God bless each and every one of you, the special music, the choir, and the good singing by the congregation. Boy, God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
I really enjoyed it. This has been a real good day for me. As you know, my boy was here this morning. I had no idea he was coming, and all at once he walked in. You know, to me, my kids, when I see my kids, I just have a great, I just feel good. In fact, never a day goes by, Barbara, that I don't say, well, did you hear from Diane today? And she said, no. Did you hear from Cindy? No. Did you hear from Aaron? No. Oh, you know. We usually hear from one of them just almost every day, and Aaron was coming in tonight. Cindy, lo and behold, I'm getting ready for church, and I hear somebody at the door. I thought the choir had let loose early, and Barbara's coming home, but I went to the door, and there's my daughter and my son-in-law, and they go to Carrie Nance's church, and she told me that they're flooded out. South Tampa's flooded out. The roads are closed going into the church, and they had to call off church. And so they drove over here. So I appreciate that. That's always good. And isn't God, God is so good. He's just so good. And I thank the Lord for it. I was informed when I walked out of the church this morning, Barbara and I started walking home. She began to tell me that I hung the wrong person today in the book of Esther. And she said I hung Mordecai. And that's not, I remember Peter Ruckman one time preaching at our church years and years ago. He said this, he said, you take a preacher that stands up and preaches 30 or 40 minutes three times a day, he's gonna get his foot in his mouth once in a while. And so anyway, I had my foot in my mouth, I hung the wrong guy. And I didn't even realize it, and if she hadn't told me, I would have not even known it. But she did tell me, and then I listened a little bit, and come to find out, I said something. I was talking about the sevens, I believe it was, something like that, and talking about how it's time for the Lord to come back. And I said something about, I was trying to say, I said there was a mistake. And I think I said there's a mistake in the Bible, but it's not. It's in the calendar. So anyway, hey, listen, I've had my foot in my mouth more times than you can count. You get my age and you preach as long as I have, Brother Matt, you will get your foot. I remember one time I preached on Joseph, and I got the baker and the butler mixed up. And boy, I was preaching along, and the whole sermon, I had them mixed up. I had the baker and the butler all messed up. But that's not the only thing. I've done some things that people would start laughing at, and I couldn't get them to shut up by the time the invitation started. But anyway, the Lord's good. I'm gonna try not to make any mistakes tonight. I heard the other day about a police captain. He was sitting at the desk in a small town, and he got a phone call from a lady, and the lady says, "I need for you to come." Said, I just shot my husband, and said, "You just shot your husband?" Said, "Yes." "You need to send somebody out quick," and. And so anyway, he told one of the officers, he said, "I want you to go on out," gave him the address and everything. And the police captain, he kind of waited. And what had happened is the lady said, "I have warned him." Captain said, "Why did you shoot your husband?" Says, "Well, I warned him." Said, "I waxed the floors and I told him, whatever you do, don't you get on those floors until they're dry." And said, "I told him two or three times," and said, lo and behold, he got on them and said, "I just shot him." And so, the police officer got there, and quite a while, and the captain thought, "I better check on him." So the police captain called the officer on the phone, on his cell phone, and he said, are you at the place?" He said, "Yes, sir." Says, have you done anything? What's taking you so long?" He said, I'm just here." And he says, "Well, have you made the arrest? Have you arrested her yet?" He said, "No, sir, I sure haven't." He said, "Well, how come?" He said, "Well, the floor's not dry." So I hope I don't make the mistake of getting on the wax floor tonight. This morning we preached on on what would happen if the Lord was to come. And he's going to come. He's going to come. And I announced to you that tonight I'm going to preach to you, what if he don't? Let's see what the Lord has to say about it with us tonight. I want you please take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And then we'll then we'll take our fingers. I had what the young lady come up to me this morning. She said, I had my fingers on all the different places, and then you said, turn to the book of Matthew. She said, I didn't have enough fingers. But anyway, we'll go from there. We'll go from there to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter 22. But in Matthew chapter number 15, verses 12 through 19, let's look at it, if you will. It says this, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. Then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses. He said, I'll be preaching a lie. Is that right? All right. He said, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. And let's take that, please, if you will, and go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation, chapter number 22, and we'll begin reading with verse number 16. Verse number 16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take water of the life freely. For I testify unto you, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, that's the message, then God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What happens if he doesn't come? And we read here in the book of Revelation, Satan had put John, had taken him, putting him on the Isle of Patmos. He's on the Isle of Patmos, and I'm sure that when Satan put him there, he thought, boy, he's going to be a lonely fella. He's not going to be able to bother anybody at all. He'll be lonesome. He'll be out there all by himself. He'll feel like he's been forsaken. But little did he know that on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord would roll back the curtain of heaven and let him see something. He would let him see what's going to happen in the future. He would let him see all the way into the future. Little did he know that. And we find out that the Bible says up in verse number 13, the Lord said this. He said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Did you know John got to see some things out there all by himself? Satan thought he had him in a trap, but there he is. All at once, he's walking with the Lord. The Lord said, come up hither. And he said, I'm going to show you some things. And you know what he showed him? He showed him infinity. I mean, he showed him right on through. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Can you fathom that? Can your mind comprehend that? Can your mind comprehend the beginning and the end? The Lord said he was the beginning. When is the beginning? If there was a beginning, what would be before the beginning? If there's an end, what's going to be after the end? Have you ever thought about infinity? Have you ever thought about the third heavens? There's a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. Let's suppose we go up to the third heaven. And that's, you think that's all of it? Has the Lord built a wall? When you get to the, if he has, what's on the other side of the wall? You know, it took them 9 years to get to Pluto. Did you read about that the other day?
Yes,
9 years to get to Pluto, and that's in the Milky Way. That's just in our atmosphere, the Milky Way. Pluto's in the Milky Way, and there's millions.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And the Lord let John see that. An amazing thing, if you ask me. John had the blessed hope of seeing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, I want you to see what happens if he doesn't. Let me take a few moments, if you will. First of all, if he doesn't come back, Christians have nothing but a dark world to look forward to. I want you to know this is a dark world we're living in. This is a world, friend of mine, that's full of frustrations. It's full of nothing but trouble. It's full of heartaches. There's nothing but death. There's nothing but loneliness. I mean, we read in the paper where, or we hear on the news where they're selling baby parts.
Right.
Can you believe it? We've got a Supreme Court that turns around and he says, hey, it's all right for men to marry men and women. It's all right for sodomy. That's what it's saying. And by the way, if you go look in the book, if you read your Old Testament about sodomy, if you've got the word that says instead of sodomy, it says prostitute, you still have the wrong book. There's a difference between a prostitute and a sodomite. And they've got this thing called hate crimes now, and preachers up in Canada, they tell me, are getting all kinds of problems for standing and preaching against the gays, and that's a bad word for them. I remember when gay was a good word. Let's just put it like it is. I mean, you know, they're preaching against sodomites. That's what the Bible calls them, sodomites. And the Supreme Court says, hey, it's all right to commit sodomy now. That's what they're doing. Nasty. Nasty as it can be. Bunch of sodomites. This whole world is nothing but dark. You stop and think about it. We've got up there, we've got politicians passing laws. They're a bunch of drunks. They're a bunch of sodomites. They're a bunch of crooks. For a dollar and a half, they'll lie about anything. And they're passing laws. They're drug heads. They're anything you want. We've got up there in Washington, D.C. Look what we've got in the White House. I mean, it goes along with all this stuff.
Right.
If when I was growing up, if you'd have told me this stuff was going on, I would have said, you're crazy. It'll never happen in the United States of America. Yeah. But we're seeing it. And I want you to know something. They're trying to say, okay, the churches now, it's not going to affect you, but it will one day. They'll come down on us. They'll come down on you. They'll come down. But I'll tell you one thing. We got a preacher, thank God, in Brother Carter. He'll stand up here and he tells it like it is.
Amen.
You know, I kind of tiptoe through the tulips, but not him. He doesn't. I thank God for him, brother. I mean, it doesn't matter whether he's on the radio, whether it's going all around the world. He still stands up. Brother, listen, he calls sin, sin. And we ought to thank God we've got a preacher like that. Praise God. Listen, brother, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to be in a dark world. Oh, listen to me, friend. But let's go on. If he doesn't come back, did you know his life, his death, his resurrection was all in vain?
Right.
If he doesn't come back, Calvary was a mistake.
Right.
I mean, stop and think about it. He's coming again. He's coming back. I mean, to think that the God would leave heaven and come down here and be a God-man on this ungodly world and come to this earth and go through what he went through, I want you to know that we're all in vain if he doesn't come back.
Amen.
I mean, the God-man, God himself, it would be in vain. Stop and think about it. If he doesn't come back, why did he do that?
Right.
Why did he travel all that way from heaven to earth? Why is it that he went through this earth and was humiliated and then beaten, as we talked about this morning? It would all be in vain if he doesn't come back. If he doesn't come back, friend of mine, thirdly, your work for Jesus Christ is all gone for naught. I mean, we're here, we're wasting our time if he doesn't come back. We might as well go home, flip on the television set. You stop and think about it. Soul winning. Why would you go out and visit on soul winning if he doesn't come back? If he's not going to come back, why go out and win somebody to Christ? Listen, brother, I want you to know something. The main thing, and that's winning people to Jesus Christ, seeing people saved. This morning, we thank God. I had one of the brothers come up to me and said, everybody that raised their hand, We talked to them about the Lord. I said, praise God for that. Amen. But I tell you what, there was one here that was a Jewish girl. And that's why the introduction was so long. I wanted to see that those Old Testament prophecies, brother, they were prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me, seeing people saved. But you stop and think about it. Why go soul winning? Why build these buildings we've got here? Why have the college? Why have the Christian school if he's not coming back? Why is it that you give your money? Why do you put your tithes in if he's not coming back? Why do you do those things? Why is it you go out on the bus routes? On Sunday morning, Barbara and I will get up. We'll be having our breakfast, and we'll hear those buses crank up. And Barbara says, there goes the buses. Boy, thank God for the buses. Amen. Did you know, out at the camp, it was such a blessing. Out at the camp, there was a family that came a couple weeks ago. They walked the aisle, a man, his wife, and a young lady. And you probably remember it. I didn't see them today, but they've been coming. And they were out at the camp. And I walked up to them, and I said, they live in Polk City. I said, my goodness sakes, how'd you find the camp? How'd you know? They said, well, we said, we just pulled up into the church parking lot and followed the bus out here. Praise God, brother. The bus led them right out to the camp for prayer meeting. Isn't that great? I had that happen to me one time. I'll never forget. His name was Tony Lemire. He had a little girl, and she went and stayed all night with a friend of hers. And on Sunday morning, the bus went by and picked her up, and of course, she went on the bus with them. And the next Sunday, she told her daddy. She said, boy, I went to this church, and we got to go to that church. And he said, well, where is it? He said, well, she said, I'm not sure. I said, well, what's the name of it? He said, well, I don't know. I just know we've got to go to church. We've got to go to that church. We've just got to go. And he kept trying to find out, how do I get there? Do you know the way? No, I don't know the way. So finally, she kept insisting, we've got to go to church. He got in his car, got up early in the morning, and went over to the girl's house where she had spent the night. And he sat there and waited and waited and waited until the bus came to pick up that girl. And then he followed the bus to church. Amen. The whole family got saved.
Amen.
Oh, listen, what a blessing, brother. But listen to me. Hey, bus captains, I want you to know something. If Jesus doesn't come back, your work is in vain. There's no sense in it. Why get up? Why come out here on Saturday and go visiting? Why get up early and start those buses and run up and down the road? Why do these things? Your work is in vain, friend of mine. Oh, listen, I think about the Elliot with his friends that went down to Ecuador. It was in vain. He gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was in vain, friend of mine, if Jesus doesn't come back. If he doesn't come back, you stop and think about him. Huss, Tyndall, Polycarp. We can go on and on and on. 50 million Baptists have been martyred for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I want you to know it was all in vain unless Jesus comes again.
Amen.
50 million more Baptists have been martyred for God, for the Lord, for the cause of Christ than any other group of people. 50 million. And I want you to know today there's being a martyr, I believe, every 5 minutes for the Lord Jesus Christ. More martyrs today than there's ever been before. People are giving their life. Read, pick up your newspaper. See what those people are doing to Christians. Cutting their heads off. We got a bunch up in Washington, D.C. What are they doing? Using pea shooters at them. Dear God, give us a George Patton. He'd have that mess cleaned up in 6 months. The world, friend of mine, is always going to be under the curse of sin if he doesn't come back.
Amen.
It's going to be under the curse of sin. Sin everywhere you look. I want you to know when Adam fell and Eve fell, brother, there was a curse that came on this earth. And I want you to know today there's flooding out in South Tampa to where they couldn't go to church. Out in California, it's dry and there's fires going on all over the place. There's a curse on this earth. And brother, that curse will never be lifted unless the Son of God comes again. Then not only that, sin will never be punished. There will be no great white throne if Jesus doesn't come back. That means Hitler gets off scot-free. That means Stalin gets off scot-free. That means Bin Laden gets off scot-free. That means all of these people, these serial killers and all of these pedophiles and everything else. That means they get off scot-free if there's no great white throne judgment. Can you imagine Hitler killing 7 million Jews, gassing them? I've seen those gas ovens. Stalin killed almost, they say, over 30 million people of his own people. If Jesus doesn't come back, friend of mine, they got away with it. But not only that, there would be a disappointed bride if he doesn't come. You know, the Bible says we're the bride. I mean, hey, listen, I have never performed a wedding that tears didn't come in my eyes when I'd see that girl walking down the aisle in that white with that veil. And every time, tears would come in my eyes as they'd come up. Now, I want you to know the Bible says there's going to be a wedding in heaven one day. He said, I'm going to call the bride up. And he said, one day there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's you and me. All of the saved, the redeemed are going to be there. We're going to be the bride of God. But friend of mine, I want you to know, if he doesn't come back, he stood us up. He stood us up. But then again, if he doesn't come back, there'll be no rewards. No rewards. Why are we doing all this? Why are you doing it, Brother Matt? Are you doing it for money? Hey, man, I pastored. I had a school, a children's home. I had a staff. Poor guys. Hey, listen, why do you do it, Brother Perkins?
Money.
Money? Praise God, I'll tell you what. Does it pay good? I mean, stop and think about it. Would you? If he doesn't come, there'll be no rewards. Brother Cruz, why do you lead the choir? Why do you come and have choir practice? Why does Miss Johnson and all these, Ruth, all of them come and play the piano and the organ? Why do they do that? If he doesn't come, it's all in vain. Amen. Everything's in vain. Oh, friend of mine, you have nothing to look forward to except a dull, cold, dark grave. I remember years ago, my mother's people were farm people. And I can remember as a young man going out to the farm. And my uncle was out there, Uncle Bill. I can remember Uncle Bill. I wasn't even a preacher at that time, but he knew I was a Christian. He knew I went to church. And he looked at me and he said, Scotty, you really believe in heaven? I said, yeah. He said, you really believe in heaven? You believe in heaven? You believe in hell? I said, yeah, I sure do. I said, what, do you don't? He said, no. I said, what do you believe, Bill? Uncle Bill, what do you believe? He said, I believe you die, you dig a ditch, and you cover it up, and that's all. I said, you really believe that? He said, yeah. We went on talking, and he said, and by the way, he said, if I did believe in God and I believed in going to church, I'd go to the Catholic church. He said, I like the idea of being able to go out on Saturday night and doing anything you want to and coming on Sunday and telling about it, and you're okay. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. This is a dark, cold world. And if Jesus doesn't come, there's going to be nothing but a cold, dark grave waiting for us. If he doesn't come, I lose my soul. But he loses his honor. And everything in God's word has come true. Everything.
Amen.
Everything in the word of God has come true. And he said, I will come again.
Amen.
Now, when you go back and you say everything has come true, and he says, I will come again, you know what that makes me believe? That makes me believe that it's worth it all.
Amen.
It's worth it all. Listen to me. I want you to know something, Christians. We do have something to look forward to besides a cold, dark world. We do thank God that his life, his death, and his resurrection was not in vain. We do thank God that the work we do for Jesus Christ is not for naught. We are going to get paid for it, brother. It is worthwhile. It's worthwhile to come to church. It's worthwhile to sing in the choir. It's worthwhile to give of your money. It's worthwhile, friend of mine, to do that which is right, to go soul winning and knocking on doors. And by the way, where's your mission offering? You know, it's time to pucker up or duck. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile, friend. It's worthwhile because I want you to know sin will be punished one day. It's worthwhile because he's not going to disappoint the bride, and there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. You can bet your life on it.
Amen.
The Bible says so. He's coming again.
Amen.
Are you ready? They say that there was an orchestra and a choir practicing Handel's Messiah. Never forget reading this. And they were practicing to put on a big concert. They had the soloist. And the soloist got up and she began to sing. And she started singing that my Redeemer liveth. I believe that my Redeemer liveth. You've heard the song. And the conductor stopped. He looked at the young lady and he said, do you really believe what you're singing? And she said, yes, sir. Said, well, then sing like you believe it. So she started singing. She began to sing, and they shall reign. He shall reign forever and forever. And the background would say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And all at once she began to tear up. And then the conductor began to tear up. And then all at once the conductor stopped the music. And he looked at her and he said, I really believe you believe it.
Amen.
Folks, I believe he's coming.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking. You're here tonight, you say.